Creator. Very first thing I'd like to do is go through each one of the measurements that are in your assessment. If you have your assessment handy, it's on the left-hand side. It's in the external world. It's the second section down. This is our tangible world. This isn't how we feel about ourselves in our tangible world. This is the actual execution of a task. We're going to do the work of creation. Now, what's interesting is that everything we imagine in our mind, for it to be real and tangible reality, it must be created. We create it in our mind. We create it here. As we've been talking about over the last few months, we have creation in our mind. If we have engaged in fantasy, when we've gone to a time when something's already been created in our mind, and we start living beyond it, we just set ourselves up for discouragement and frustration and overwhelm every time life shows up differently. We do not manifest tangible reality by vividly visualizing. I'll restate that. We do not create tangible reality by vividly visualizing. What we do is we receive inspired ideas and impressions. We see clearly what we'd like to create. We begin seeing how we can create it and how it will serve. And those inspired ideas and impressions ignite our passion. They very literally light up part of our brain that is normally dormant. And that passion is now going to drive our work. Interesting piece to emphasize. Whether we're in fantasy and the work then becomes boring and mundane and repetitious and hard and burdensome, or we use our mind constructively and get an inspired idea and impression, solution to a challenge that ignites our passion, and we do the same work, now passion-driven, where we work without counting the cost or tracking the time. We do whatever is required to create a tangible reality, that which we've seen so clearly in our minds. It's the same work. And no one gets to skip the work. This is such a key piece of physical creation. Nobody gets to skip the work. Oh, wouldn't it be wonderful if there was an easy button we could just touch, or if there were a fantasy fairy that could magically manifest our wishes if we would just visualize it with enough intention. Well, we can spend a lifetime trying to find this fantasy fairy. We will want to create intangible reality, that which we've seen in our minds. We've got some noise in the background. Sounds like maybe a television. If you could press *6 on your phone and take out that background noise, that would be really helpful. Thank you so very much. And if you want to comment, just press *6 and call out my name. You'll know that I can hear you. Dave, 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 Dave. So we're facing this work. And the six measurements found in physical creation tell us our capacity. What's our capacity like? What's going on in terms of where our thought processes are when we're going to take on this work? We're going to do this work. Isn't it interesting how work somehow got a bad rap in the last decade or so? Like it's beneath us? How we're somehow entitled to just have and just receive? And people even tell people to look up at the universe and say, "You're stupid, give me what I want." It's somehow magically going to give it to us? The truth is, there is a power that governs this universe. And it will never, ever give us something and rob us of the opportunity to stretch and grow and become all that we are to become. It's not about being rich. It's about becoming the kind of person who could handle wealth. It's not about the money. It's about what we've become. So in the doing, we become. We become through the doing. And having is the natural result of the doing as we become. So let's take a look at this. We're on, I'd like to, if you've got a copy of Today I Begin a New Life, I'm going to use that as a reference on page 211. If you're listening to the audio that is on your Intentional Creation Studio, you're in the third quality, quality number 3, physical creation. The six measurements are passionate, productive, organized, compliant, proactive, and protective. I'm going to share share them with you. These are characteristics we're going to want to become. We're going to want to become passionate. I am passionate. When I become passionate, I am excited and fulfilled by the work I do. Now, you'll find this affirmation also in your studio, quality number 3. Click on quality number 3. Middle column, it says affirmations. Click on affirmations. You'll see these same affirmations. I am excited and fulfilled by the work I do. I passionately engage in life, embrace principles, create value, and contribute to the world. Now, write down by the side of the word passionate a willingness to suffer for something I love. That's Kevin Hall's definition that he taught me about passion. Passion is a willingness to suffer for something I love. It's a 14th century word. Came from the passion plays in Europe. Now think about this. I have seen it clearly in my mind. It has ignited part of my brain that's normally dormant. My passion has been ignited. I am willing to do whatever is required to create it. Whatever is required. I'm willing to suffer for that which I love. We want to become passionate. Now, when this measurement starts to drift, what's happening is I'm becoming exhausted. I'm tired. It's like I've got a backpack full of bricks strapped to my back, and I'm trying to go through the motions. That backpack full of bricks can be debt. It can be challenges in relationships. It can be dialogue that makes me think I have to do everything because I have to and I should and I must, and even fear of consequences if I don't, or perfectionism. There are a lot of things that can contribute to those bricks in my back. If your measurement is orange, just know that it's just a symptom. It's just a symptom of something I'm bringing to this task. So passionate, we want to become. I am. So powerful words, I am. I am passionate. Next is I am productive. The mathematics behind this is a very powerful measurement. It says I'm looking at this thing, and I'm looking at to the power of doing it well, with quality. That's the mathematics of this particular measurement. I am productive. I know when something needs to be improved. I understand what needs to be done to make it better. And I take the action to create it. You feel that energy? Powerful measurement. When this measurement starts to turn orange, most often, I'm getting to becoming impatient. I just want it done now. I want it done well. I want it done right. Good grief, do I have to do everything myself to get it done? Oh, can you imagine what I could accomplish if I didn't have to involve people? I just want you to feel the energy, the impatience, the insensitivity that can start to show up in our thought processes that rob us from being productive. Instead of being productive, we're insensitive. The other option, which is a little bit more rare, we're just exhausted. We just don't have the energy for it. Most of the time when productive is orange, it's about just, I just want it done. We're losing the power of linear time. Tick, 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 tick. We can only move as fast as the people are willing to move that are going to assist us in the process. So we validate. We love the people. We unleash their cooperation and productivity by intrinsically valuing them. That's how we get the most out of them. That's how we get it done as fast as is humanly possible. We can't hold it hostage to our impatience. I am organized. I am organized. I'm doing something. What's the power of my thought processes around the structure of this? The idea of getting it done. Am I organized? Do I have a schedule? Do I stick to my schedule? I do things in an organized, structured, and realistic way. I allocate and use my time and resources effectively to get the desired result. Most of the time when this one starts to turn orange, it just means that we'd like to have a little bit more flexibility, a little bit more creativity, a little bit more spontaneity. We don't want to be bound by structure. Well, that can work for some. The challenge challenges are you managing anyone? Are you responsible for setting the example for others? Because if you are, you want to be more structured. It's hard to catch the wind. May work for you, but it's not a great model for others to follow. I am compliant. What happens when somebody else's idea gets in the way of me doing something? Especially when I think it is stopping me, holding me back from doing that which I want to do. I am compliant. I act with caution and prudence. I recognize the value of doing things in an organized and structured way, even when it may keep me from doing things the way I want to do them. Now, if you have this measurement orange, you can almost feel the energy going, yes, but, the favorite phrase of this piece that we're measuring mathematically, yes, but, that's antiquated, that's not fast enough. Well, just be careful that when you're breaking the rules, that you don't get yourself in trouble. There's often a very good reason for them. I know, but the weather's good enough, I can go 95 miles an hour. Well, sometimes I do. Highway patrolman pulled me over once on the way to St. George and said, pointing to my radar detector, that may tell you where I am, but it'll never tell you where the elk is. He said, last week we scraped a man off the road. Slow down. I thanked him. I am compliant. That doesn't mean we don't push the envelope a little bit sometimes. That's what entrepreneurial people do. But let's not push the envelope so far that we take life, which was designed for Mach 1, and arbitrarily fly at Mach 2. We will flame out. And when we do, we'll be parachuting at best. At best. I am proactive. This is such an important measurement. We're looking at something that needs to be done, and there's something in the way that's keeping us from doing it. How are we reacting to this? If I am proactive, I am present, clear, and decisive. I keep obstacles in their proper perspective, and I'm willing to confront difficult or challenging problems or issues as they occur. I'm powerful, I'm persistent, as Og says in Scroll 3. However, we have thought processes occasionally that want us to look at that problem that's in the way and minimize the seriousness of letting it stop us. This is when we have a task sitting on our desk that we've been putting off, we've been procrastinating. Might be our garage, could be a repair on a car, it could be lots of things. We've been putting it off instead of taking proactive action. I'm thinking about the roof line. We had guys here yesterday in ice climbing gear chiseling ice out of the valleys in the back of the house on the north side of the house. The ice was 14 inches thick. We had been concerned about it for a couple of days because we started to get water coming down the wall inside the deck where water is not supposed to be coming down. So Sunday we found a sign with an insured and bonded and licensed contractor, called him. He came up Monday morning. By 10 o'clock they were on the roof. By 2:30 the problem was solved. Wow, what a relief. And the water stopped running down the wall. It had been wicking through some stucco on a pillar. And had that not been repaired, if we'd have said, well, you know, it's going to cost us $600 to get this fixed. I don't want to spend $600 to get this fixed. The water was very close to coming in the house. And if it had come in right there, there's a piano there, there's a rug there, there's wood floors there, you can start to see what could happen. Thousands of dollars in damage. Taking proactive action. When we're faced with a problem, do we try to talk ourselves out of it and procrastinate? Or do we take it on? I am proactive. If I'm going to be a intentional creator, and I'm going to be in physical creation, I'm going to want to be proactive. Lastly, I am protective. This is when we build something, What do we do with it? It could be that we saved money, bought a car. Is every Burger King wrapper in the back seat? Or do we keep it clean and neat? When's the last time we washed it, vacuumed it, changed its oil? In terms of our garages and our homes and businesses, have we built a business and we're letting the edges be frayed and fall apart? I am protective. I passionately protect and maintain what has been created or built.
Yes.
And strive to add value in everything I do. Well, those are the six measurements. Now let's talk about the principles and practices and processes to assist us in becoming these characteristics. Okay. Because we do want to be passion-driven. We want to be in the work of creation. We want to be using those five constructive ways of thinking. Mental rehearsal, inspiration, exploration, planning, goal setting, problem solving. And now we're here actually living in passion-driven action. I don't know about you, but sometimes it can get exhausting. Before I go into a couple of these principles, I do want to say that we never want to run faster than we have strength. It has been very hard for me for the last 3 weeks to slow down a little bit and let my body heal. I'm a 6 o'clock in the morning till 10 o'clock at night guy. It's just what I am. Not a wasted moment. Let not a drop spill upon the sand. There are times, and it's turned out to be a very beautiful time, to reflect and ponder and think and consider possibilities. Marvelous things have come out of these last 3 weeks that wouldn't have been here had I been racing in 100 miles an hour. Passion-driven is not about being frenetic. It's about being purposeful in what we do, whether that's intentionally taking a nap or it is intentionally taking on a task, proactively taking on something we may have been putting off, intentionally being with and just listening to someone, intentionally watching a movie with person that you love to be with and just curling up together. It just means we're going to do everything intentionally, not frenetically. Frenetic meaning like a dog with its chasing its tail or a chicken with its head cut off. Frenetic, non-goal directed activity. That is not what passion means. Passion is not about speed. It's about purpose and intention. Now the first thing I want to talk about, procrastination. When we were all coaching together, for those of you who had the opportunity to go through personal coaching and through group coaching, we talked about procrastination. The question is, are we still procrastinating? That's really the question. Not do we understand the principle, are we doing something about this? Well, I'm going to teach you a principle in a minute how to overcome procrastination, but let us understand this principle. When we are putting something off, the energy that we expend to avoid it can be exhausting. It takes twice as much energy to play at half speed. And that's what we're playing when we're procrastinating. We're holding back instead of taking it on. The thing that we want to do is screaming at us. It's just screaming at us. We have to turn a deaf ear, or we've got so much noise going on inside about our self-worth that we may not hear it. But as we get closer and closer and closer to that deadline, when it needs to be done, and I know some of you have heard this before, but just be with me for a moment. As we get closer to that event, it continues to scream until we finally hear it. We finally hear it. And at some point, we cannot do anything but jump in. We have to jump in. And the most fascinating thing happens almost every time we do. We go, wow, that wasn't so hard. Wow, why did I wait so long? I want to emphasize tonight again, the reason why we're surprised is because when we jump in, we shut off the noise in our own head. And our true genius shows up. We are being genuine. And it is so magnificent that even we're surprised. Tonight, let's make the commitment. I am not going to play that game anymore. Put off, put off, put off, jump in, be surprised. Put off, put off, put off, jump in, be surprised. Let us begin the process tonight of embracing our genius. This is one of the ways we heal self-esteem. In that moment, we feel good about ourselves. We feel a sense of accomplishment. We just spend time with the real us. It's no wonder we're feeling good. That's who we are. That's who we are. We get to self-esteem. We talk about the objective is to be real, genuine, and authentic. Genuine is embracing our own genius. Authentic is embracing our goodness and acting on our own moral authority. Doing the next right thing for the right reason because we want to, get to, and choose to. We are being genuine and we are being authentic in that moment. That is our true self. Wow. This is one of the great ways of healing self-esteem. And Og said, my procrastination, which has held me back, was born of fear. This comes out of scroll number 9. And now I recognize the secret mind from the depths of all courageous hearts. He hasn't told us what it is yet. He's just saying, if you got into the depths of a courageous heart, core, meaning blood, so the heart of hearts, you get to the bottom of the heart of hearts of every courageous soul, we find the same thing in every one of them. Now I know that to conquer fear, I must always act without hesitation. And the flutters in my heart will vanish. Why? We just met ourselves, our genius. We're being authentic. Wow, that wasn't so hard. Now I know that that action reduces the lion of terror to an ant of equanimity, which means peace of mind. I will act now. This is one of the reasons why we want to act now. We act now. We embrace our genius. We're being genuine, authentic. We're meeting our true self. We're spending time with us. And we're beginning the process of healing our self-esteem. Such an important piece in action. Also, we have a tendency to want to have the answer before we take the action. Yes, but David, I want to know this is the right thing before I do it. Truth is, we never will know. We jump first, and we get peace second. The peace only comes, the equanimity, the peace of mind, only comes when we take the action. We jump in. So our goal is to live present in the now in passion-driven action. This is the time, the only time, when we get to reach out and touch the timeline of our life. It is now, right now. Right now, it's now. Interestingly, 24 hours from now, it'll still be now. 24 days from now, it'll still be now. And 24 years from now, it'll still be now. It's a great concept. There's no such thing as tomorrow. It does not exist. I was reflecting on this, and I've read this for some of you. I was reflecting on this concept one night when I was reading scroll number 9, and this scroll log says, for now is all I have. Tomorrow is a day reserved for the labor of the lazy. Tomorrow. I am not lazy. Tomorrow is the day when evil becomes good. I'm not evil. Tomorrow is the day when the weak becomes strong. I'm not weak. Tomorrow is the day when the failure will succeed. I am not a failure. I will act now. Now, lazy, evil, weak, and failure. I took the first letter from each one of those words, L-E-W-F, loof. And I wrote a poem. It's called Don't Be Aloof. Let me share it with you tonight. I'm not lazy, the loof said with a smile. It's all figured out. Got it filed in my file. If I spend all today relaxing, I'll bet I'll be rested and ready tomorrow to sweat. Me evil, the loof said with a grin, how could you utter such nonsense, such sin? Wait till tomorrow, as idle minds would. It'll be out of my system. Tomorrow's super good. So my productivity is down a little this month, and last month, last year. Haven't you had a slump? Weak? The loof questioned. You insult me today. I can be strong. Is tomorrow okay? Success is the banner that hangs over my chair. I see it, I read it, I shout in the air. Can nobody hear me? I mean it this time. A failure? No, 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 no. Tomorrow's success will be mine. And so we hear such repetitive oration from loofs who love procrastination. And this is what Og was trying to say by this lazy, evil, weak, and failure. For everyone knows the price they will pay. For when tomorrow is here, it will still be today. So the loofs are looking for the day called tomorrow, which does not exist. It is always today. Well, this is a great thing for us to start to explore. Because if it's in the now, in tangible reality, avoiding procrastination, that we get to spend time with our real true self in passion-driven action, the question we want to ask is, how much time are we spending in the now? How much time do we spend here? Many of you in your coaching sessions took on power sessions. I wrote something recently about power sessions in a blog. If you have a chance, go to ogmandinoblog.com. ogmandinoblog.com. I had a client who had the flu. And I had the flu, same time. And we talked about it. Seeing life through the flu. And when I talked to her about power sessions, that's where we were in our coaching. This concept of being present in the now three times a day for an hour. Something that's extremely hard to do. Because the truth is, almost all of us spend an inordinate amount of time in our mind. Thinking. Even when our physical body's present, our mind is not. Og talks about this in Scroll 4. I'll focus all of my energy on the task at hand. My actions will help me forget all else. He talks about when I'm in my home, I will not bring my business, because that'll dampen my love. When in my business, I won't bring the problems of my home, because that'll cloud my thoughts. I must keep these separate. All he's trying to say to us is we want to start to learn how to compartmentalize our lives. So wherever we are, whether we're at work or dealing with a work issue, or whether we're at home or dealing with a home issue, that we are fully present, mind and body wedded together. This is such a powerful principle. I want to read to you from the blog. Because again, it's not about busy. It's not about frenetic energy. To support this practice, I ask her to read three different scrolls. I'm going to ask you tonight. Some of you practice this for a week or two. The question is, are we still doing power sessions? Just ask yourself, am I doing power sessions? Almost all of us will say, well, kind of, but not really. And power sessions, I mentioned when we were coaching together, I said, this is a way of life. This is not just an exercise for a week or two. This is a way of life. We want to learn how to be present for longer periods of time, because the more we're present in the now, touching the timeline of our life, in the very place where we create our dreams in tangible reality, mind and body together, the quicker we get to our dreams. Yet we fight being present, the very thing that's required. This is what I said to her. we pondered what these sessions, these three power sessions a day, something I'll pre-establish in the morning. In the morning, I'll pick three times in the day, really important times, maybe two business, one personal, for example, or family, when I really need to be there. Mind and body, I really need to be there. I'm going to make some phone calls, so I'll do that for an hour. I'm going to be in a meeting, I need to do that for that hour. We pondered what these sessions might be like if she started the day by reading Scroll 5. I live this day as if it is my last, and used it as a reminder to be at peace and present during the sessions, instead of feeling the need to do even more. That's one of the challenges we have with power sessions, is we set this time aside and we run like we're in a sprint. No, this is about being at peace and being present. I ask her to read Scroll 9, I Lack Now Midday, as a reminder to stop all the frenetic, non-goal-directed activity, the busy, busy, busy work, and let the next session provide an hour of peace. When we truly let down our need to be right, our need to be heard, and we just listen to someone, it can be very peaceful, because we don't need to do anything other than listen and understand where they are. We don't have to come up with an answer. We don't need to fix anything. Just listen. Be very peaceful. I asked her to read Scroll 7, I Will Laugh at the World, just before she retired in the evening, as a reminder of all the times when she's so consumed with life and children that she forgets to live and laugh, or even do a power session. Following this discussion, the thought of living life fully three times a day was not exhausting, it was exhilarating. It was about using the practice of power sessions to bring her back to this place of peace she found while suffering from the flu. A place free from guilt and fear. She could be totally focused and available, present in the now, ready and willing to serve others and find joy in the moment. It was not about trying to do more on top of everything else. It was about being intentional in her being and doing. I'm excited to get a report next week, and I got it this morning at 9:30. Unbelievable. What would it be like for you to face today at peace, free from guilt or fear, at least three times? The flu can provide this gift or force this experience. But in truth, this is how we will want to intentionally spend every day. Now, I talked earlier in this blog about having the flu for 3 days, and the two times I've had the flu, 2003 and a couple weeks ago, I got some inspired impressions because I stopped everything. Everything had to slow down. I didn't care about what needed to be done. I didn't have the energy. I couldn't get out of bed. I didn't need to beat myself up for what I was doing or not doing because I frankly didn't care. It created a moment of peace that was so peaceful that the power of the universe, God, could speak to my heart and mind. He could tell me things I couldn't hear when I was running around a million miles an hour. That's the premise of this. What would it be like for you to face today at peace, free from guilt or fear, at least three times? The flu can provide this gift or force this experience, but in truth, this is how we want to intentionally spend every day. May we all step back and choose to have at least three of these flu-like peaceful experiences each day, power sessions. Moments in which we intentionally shut off the noise, become present in the now, listen, serve, and find joy, and without a fever. This is the practice. When we are doing power sessions, we read Scroll 5 in the morning, Scroll 9 at noon, 7 at night, and we planned our power sessions and we execute them. We start to mentally rehearse what we're going to do before we get there. It ignites our passion. If our passionate measurement's in trouble, it starts to come into balance. If our productive measurement's impatient and insensitive, it starts to come into balance. If we're resisting order and structure, it starts to come into balance. If we're trying to fight the rules and everybody is trying to tell us not to, all of a sudden we slow down, we're peaceful. You see more clearly. We see the challenges for what they are, and we proactively take them on. And of course, we'll protect what we build. This gives us an opportunity to strengthen all six of these measurements by practicing power sessions. So I want to encourage everybody this week. I've never taught a power session the way I am right now. Because when I'm doing power sessions, I'm sometimes very intense. And I have found that if I could just focus on being more peaceful and present, one, it's not exhausting. It's exhilarating. And I think you'll find the same. This isn't about speeding up life three times a day. It's just about shutting off the noise and being present. This is where we'll find the joy if we'll take on this particular practice. So I want to encourage all of you to do this. Last piece for tonight. I want you to identify something you've been afraid to do. Something you've been afraid of. Anybody have something? Just think about it. Something that just scares you to death. And I want you to, this week, make the determination to act without hesitation.
No.
And watch the flutters in your heart vanish. I want you to see the peace of mind come and discover that the fear, most of it's in your head. And the only way we can overcome it is to go through it. So dedicate your power session to do something that you've been afraid to do. And if you've got something you've been putting off, if that's what you're fearing, you're procrastinating doing something, because the fear could be, I don't have the time, or I don't have the energy, or I don't have the expertise. Take a look at your week. It's Tuesday night. Got Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday, and Tuesday before we come back. Take your task and divide it into 7 days. 7 pieces. It's a tax return you haven't done. Break that process into 7 pieces. One may be gathering information. The other may be recording it. Another may be meeting with your tax preparer, CPA, whatever it might be. Break it in to 7 pieces. And then schedule your power sessions a week in advance, one of those a day. At this time of the day, I will do that piece. This time of the day, I'll do that piece. Now you know it's all scheduled. So you don't have to feel that anxiety about, when am I going to get this done, or I'm going to put it off again, or all that dialogue we have with ourselves, it's all gone. All we have to focus is on the piece that we do on Wednesday. And when we get done with Wednesday's piece, P-I-E-C-E, feel the peace, P-E-A-C-E, the sense of accomplishment for having completed that which you committed to do. Next day, the same thing. Next day, the same thing. And when we meet next Tuesday night, that which has been sitting on your desk maybe for months, eating you alive, could be done. Done. Over. By breaking it into bite-sized pieces and doing it in power sessions, you'll be surprised how much you can get it done when you show up peaceful, present, determined, intentional. Boom. Amazing what can be accomplished. So that's how we take on those things we've been procrastinating. So take on that thing that's got you afraid. Take it on. If you've got to break it into pieces, do it. If it could be done in a power session, do it in one. Remember, our power sessions are about being peaceful and present. And make the commitment this week. Because if we don't, when are we going to do this? We have dreams. We have hopes. And none of them will ever be created until we're fully present in the now, doing the work of creation. Now, I said I had the last thing. I want to share one last thing with you. When we are living present in the now, passion-driven, because we've had the vision, we've seen it clearly, have the idea, the impression, now we're passion-driven. And we're fully maximizing our ability got a conversation going on in the background. If you could press star 6, that would be really helpful. Thank you. When we're fully maximizing the gifts we've been given, the promise is you'll be given more gifts. 2, people will be put on your path who you can serve and who can serve you. And you will, as a promise, speed up the creation of your dreams to their fastest possible speed. We don't get to vividly visualize and magically manifest. It doesn't work. We get to vividly visualize constructively and get inspired ideas, impressions, and solutions that ignite our passion. We can then come and be present, fully present and now, peaceful and present, intentionally creating, fully maximizing our gifts and getting additional gifts, having people put on our path who could serve us and who we can serve, and speeding up the creation of our dreams to the fastest possible pace, and in the process enjoying this journey called creation. We'll find joy in the creation of our dreams. Well, I want to open this up if anybody's got any questions or comments tonight. If you're on mute, just come off of mute. Is there anything that I can do to assist anyone tonight before we wrap up this session on physical creation? It's your time. And if you've been coaching with me before, personally or in a group, if you learned anything new tonight, if something came out, would you share that with us as well? Anyone that would like to share tonight? Anybody's heart pounding?
Hey, Dave, this is Dell.
Hi, Dell.
Yes, you inspired me tonight, and I really appreciate it. There's things on my desk that I got to get cleared off.
So go us all, right?
Yes.
So go us all. Let's have some fun. Would you report back next week and just tell us what happened?
I certainly will.
Okay, I'll be excited to hear. Thank you. Thank you. Any questions or comments anyone else would like to make tonight? Thank you, Dell, for your comment. Well, thanks for the opportunity.
This, Dave?
Yes.
This is Diana in St. Louis.
Hi, Diana in St. Louis.
I really like the part of what you were saying about in the middle of the power sessions, you need to feel peace rather than being frenetic, trying to make yourself as focused as possible and trying to, you know, I think I've been doing that. I think it's been working against me rather than for me, so I'm going to try it the new way.
You know, this was a huge breakthrough for me. Because, you know, I've shared that I've had 3,500 clients practice power sessions and only 10 could actually do it the first week I taught it to them. And I've wondered, Diana, if it is the way I've taught them, that not intending to, I've turned them into, I'm in a power session, everybody leave me alone, you know. And then we get done, we're exhausted. And after about one day of that, it's hard to do it a second day.
Yeah, I totally relate. Yeah.
Thank you for sharing that, because this is a huge breakthrough, because I've been going back and focusing on this concept and just being at peace, being present, and focusing on either a person or a project. It's amazing how much fun it is. Being still and continually getting inspired ideas and acting on those. Yeah, this is a much better way to do power sessions. I'm wondering what's going to happen over the next year for everybody who's practiced this, because we do know this, Diana, that we have to be present. We're going to want to be present, but we have to be present. So we'll want to do it if we're going to create our dreams. But if we do it with peace and presence instead of crazy energy, we'll more likely get there. Thank you for sharing tonight.
You're welcome. And what I'm feeling from what you said was almost like to put yourself in that place like a runner when they go into the zone. It's like that place where it almost feels like time has stopped and everything is crystal clear, everything is peaceful, and you're just in a stride, and it feels effortless. But it's just a special place that that happens when you're in the zone. And of course, that only happens after a lot of practice, after you know, being there and doing the work. In a runner's case, it would be, you know, after many miles that you've run, then all of a sudden you just shift into that place. So that's kind of what I'm feeling from what you had said. We need to find that zone. And it's not something you can find. It's something that just happens when your mind is in the right place.
Hey, Dave, this is John McCall in Mesa, Arizona.
John, wasn't that a great explanation from her, from Diane?
You know, it was, and that's what kind of triggered my wanting to make a comment, because I've achieved what you defined a number of times in my life, but most of the time it wasn't as intentional as I wanted it to be. You know, it happened, and I can remember how it felt, and I would try to recreate it, recreate what I thought were the parameters that helped me achieve it. And sometimes I would be partially successful and sometimes I wouldn't. But what impacted me tonight about your comments were the steps to be intentional and to create that, and that you can get better at it each time. That's huge.
Are you a spiritual guy, John?
I am.
I just felt impressed to say something to you, but I thought I would get your permission before I did. My favorite time in a day is when the day's over, and Ramona and I start the morning praying together, and we end it together. We kneel by our bed side by side, and in the night, it's my turn. She's the voice of the morning, I'm the voice at night. My favorite time is when we kneel down, and I have this overwhelming feeling, and I say, "Dear God, I have done everything I can do today." Now, that's not everything that could be done. That's everything I could do. Everything I could do today. And I know when I've done 3 intentional power sessions, I'm in that space. I've done all that I can do today. Would you open hearts and prepare the way while I sleep? There has been this resonance with heaven that is so real and so precious. It's like God says, "Yes, you have, and yes, I will. Now sleep like a baby. I'll hand the baton back to you in the morning." I think that can happen in the middle of a firestorm. Just knowing you've done all you can do, because when we can repeat that day after day after day after day, 200 days, what we know is it's as good as it could be, because we did all we could do, and God did his part while we're asleep at night. It's as good as it could be, whatever it is. We need not feel guilty, ashamed, embarrassed. It's as good as it can be. The challenge comes when we're running around like a chicken with our head cut off, or we're fantasizing, or we're escaping, or we're in confusion, or, you know, catastrophizing, and we're wasting the day. There's no way we could say that, other than I apologize for wasting the day. But to say, "I've done all I can do today. Would you soften hearts and prepare the way while I sleep?" Those are my favorite moments. There's just such an honesty, a rawness about that moment when I can say it. I'd encourage all of you to try that. Take a day and do the power sessions. Read the scrolls. And if you're a praying person or meditate, just have that moment where you just go, "Wow, I showed up today. I really did." And have that moment of celebration. What do you think? call, John.
No, I think it's fantastic. I didn't know if you wanted me to come up again or not, but that's the power of that for type A personalities who always have more to do than they can possibly accomplish is tremendous. It's, you know, it's a way for you to be able to stop at the end of the day, not necessarily because you're just so exhausted you can't go on, but because you've accomplished as much as you can get done for the day, and you can feel good about that.
Feel good and not be beating yourself up for, I should have done this, and I could have done more. No, I did this. Yeah. I did enough. I did enough. Yep, try that. I felt impressed to share it with you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Anyone else that has a comment tonight before we wrap up? Can I just close with this thought? I come to these sessions. I don't mind telling you prayerfully. I am reaching deep into my heart during our whole entire conversation to share the principles. I want to thank you tonight for sharing. Dale, thanks for kicking it off, and Diana and John for sharing your feelings. Because when I hang up this phone tonight, I'm going to feel connected to you because you said something. You participated. You ask a question. You share a feeling. It makes this time worth it. So personally, from me to you, thank you. We've had some of these Tuesday nights where we've ended without anybody saying anything, and it just, I hang up the phone and I go, wow, did I miss the point? Did I not? What happened? Because we want so deeply for you to practice these principles, because we know in our heart of hearts that when we are living them, our life is magnificent, and yours will be too. So thank you for sharing tonight. Well, everybody have a great week. We'll be back with you next Tuesday. Ramona and I are leaving tomorrow morning to celebrate our 38th wedding anniversary, which is so exciting. So we'll be spending a few days together, and we'll be coming back next Tuesday refreshed and ready to take on discipline and structure. These are the barriers. Yeah, when we fantasize and go into catastrophe, we create all kinds of physiological issues. The real barriers are resistance and resentment and rebellion. We're going to take these core issues on next week, discipline and structure, because the truth is the very things we want are right behind the very things we're resisting. So let us start taking action. Let us start blasting through some of those things this week, so when we take it on next week, we can start to let go of that natural rebellion that we have as humans and start to realize the joy that we desire. Well, thanks, everybody. Have a great night, and we'll be back next Tuesday. Thanks, everyone. Good night.
Congratulations on your anniversary.
Thank you so very much.
Thanks, Dave.
Thanks. Good night.